All right, we'll call the committee to order. Representative Zellers moves approval of the minutes from March 3rd, 2005. Thank you, Representative Zellers. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That's all right. Adopted. We have, there's another, there's minutes from our interim meeting, hearing, tour of August 10th. We have to check on one thing before we act on those, so we'll follow up with that at another time. We've got two bills on the agenda. Representative Mahoney, call you up first. House File 3185, the chair moves House File 3185 be recommended to pass and sent to the full Commerce Committee. Representative Mahoney, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have an office amendment.
Is that the A1?
That's correct.
Chair moves the A1 amendment to put the bill in the shape the author would like to discuss it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Mahoney, 2-year bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will proceed as, there's two ways I can proceed. I have about a half a dozen witnesses here, or I can just explain the bill, and if there's questions, they can come up and answer them if I can't.
My preference would be the latter. I'm not aware of anybody having issues or concerns with the bill, so why don't we start with the latter and bring your witnesses up if necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. House File 3185 addresses an issue that came to light a couple years ago. We pulled together last year in your committee. You heard a bill that created a task force with labor and industry to address an issue of data privacy, more or less, in the bioscience industry. One of the things that came to light was that when a company comes here and builds a plant, manufacture something, their prints are generally kept on file, the city or wherever, once those prints have been authorized and approved. The problem with that is that once they are authorized and approved and kept in the city or any place else, public data and their competitors can come in and request to take a look at the prints and then figure out what process they're, what they're making. They don't even know what they're making, but then they can figure out how they're making it. It's a trade secret. You don't want that particular information out there for your competitors to know. So what this bill does is requires the state, Department of Hot, it used to, well, I guess it is a high-pressure steam and boiler, to do the inspection. And the state will keep it all as, I could get my, as non-public data. I get my glasses on and read it, but the lights here drive me crazy. It also requires that that the enforcement bodies of the ammonia and bioprocess piping are in the same. It puts the data into the labor and industry, the state codes, and then requires that no municipality, if the state does the inspection, can charge a permit fee for an inspection that they don't do. And that's the bill. And it has been worked over by the data privacy people, by the code people, by the bioindustry people. I know of no objections at this particular point. Would be up to, hopefully they would be here if they have an objection.
Representative Mahoney, can you just tell me what the status is of the bill over in the Senate?
It's gone through Commerce, and it has passed through Judiciary, and I believe it should be heading towards the floor.
And I guess, has it met deadline over there?
My understanding is it has.
You're getting some help from the audience, Mr. Goddard, indicating that it has. I raise that because I'm seeing, as I look at this, particularly the amendment, the second part of the amendment on lines 15 through 17, I think you have bought yourself a ticket to the Civil Law Committee, and I wish you well there. You should be lucky you're not there today. I saw their agenda. I think it has 34 bills on it. So hopefully you won't have any problems there, but I'm glad to know you made deadline over in the Senate. Members, any questions for Representative Mahoney? Seeing that, Representative Mahoney, do you want to have any of your witnesses come up and testify? I'm not sure that it's necessary, but...
If the committee is satisfied, I'm satisfied.
Representative Mahoney, thank you for bringing your bill. With that, the chair renews his motion that House File 3185, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the full Commerce Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, committee. And see you another.
Yeah, we'll see you after session in the full committee.
Mr. Chair, I assume we want to keep all the papers. We're going to be looking at them again.
Well, I'm guessing our staff is very efficient. I'm sure they'll be in our commerce packets. We're not very good about saving trees around here as much as we try, but if you want to keep them, Representative Liebling, have at it. Representative Severson moves House File 3561 be recommended to pass and sent to the full Commerce Committee. Representative Severson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And it's a pretty simple bill. I love that when that happens usually. But this is the first part of a two-part bill. The second part has gone on its way to Jobs and Economic Development, has been rolled over positive inclusion into the bonding bill. This really designates an area up in central Minnesota that is complementary to the initial biotech zone that has been set up between Rochester and the U of M. And the purposes of this bill is to expand the provision that is currently in law to include more than one site. And Mr. Chair and members, I think the vision that we have for this whole process is that this is the initial steps taken by this legislature to get a foot in the door for a lot of the biotechnology that's taking place in the state. This is the second step that actually takes some of that research, puts it out to some of our outstate areas, and allows them to capitalize on it. Now, the bill that you have before you makes some great statements in terms of the commissioner, in consultation with the Commissioner of Revenue and Director of the Office of Strategic Long-Range Planning, shall designate one or more biotechnology health services industry zone. Priority must be given to applicants that develop a plan that links a higher education research institution with biotechnology and health science industry. And that's really what is taking place in central Minnesota. We've got the three colleges, three universities up there, the St. Cloud State University, St. John's, St. Ben's, along with the Technical College in the area there, in concert with a lot of the ag industry that's going on between poultry and the beef. And so there's a real synergy that goes with getting our feet to the ground in terms of application of those discoveries or those patents that are going to be generated through the bioscience in the first bioscience zone. So this bill that you have before you here merely says that it's not restricted to one bioscience zone. We'd like to establish one in central Minnesota. And that was a long dissertation for a short two-worded.
Representative Severson, just so I'm clear, as I look at the bill, it doesn't designate St. Cloud or central Minnesota. It leaves that up to the commissioner. I know that the folks in St. Cloud have been working hard for this. I think they kind of, if not first in line, right up near the top. Your bill, though, doesn't, as I read it, designate central Minnesota or the St. Cloud area, and other areas would be able to compete for the designation. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And I think what we want to do on this, Mr. Chair and members, is just what's good for what's good for the state in this process, and to do as you had said, put it on a competitive basis. Who is the first up to the plate? Who is going to be the best qualified to carry this through? And it may not be just one spot. It may be two or three additional spots. So this bill merely makes a way for that.
Any questions for members? Yeah. Representative Wolfe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Severson, I remember some of the testimony that we had in this division last year was about how you attract the real top scientists is to really concentrate them, you know, sort of the Silicon Valley model, and that if you have a certain concentration of people with this kind of interest and expertise, that that's what really attracts others. And it seems to me that this may be actually working against that model that the experts had you know, advice that they had given to us on how to be successful as we compete not just with other states but with the world to, you know, kind of maintain a cutting-edge response. And so I'm wondering to what degree you've explored that with some of the people who gave us a different view of how to be successful last year.
Well, Representative Laughlin, before Representative Severson responds, the bio zone, if you will, for Minnesota really is more than the immediate seven county metropolitan area. I mean, it extends down to Rochester for sure, as we heard, and doesn't take too long to get from the northwestern metro up to St. Cloud. And so I understand what you're saying. But I think what Representative Severson is looking for, you know, for his area of the state, which really is only a slight half skip and a jump outside of the seven county metro area, I'm not sure that it does that. But Representative Severson, if you have a comment to that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Loeffler, you know, part of the process when we were talking about those issues is in terms of intellectual property, having a critical mass of intellectual property in one place that can be known for and generate the idea and generate the reputation that brings those people that have the intellectual capacity to bring forth some of these new ideas, these new patents. This in particular is for taking those patents to the next step. This is for taking those patents to the manufacturing stage, if you will. So up in St. Cloud's area where we were talking about part of that process and some of the provisions within the bill that is accompanying this is saying that over at St. Cloud State they want some of the DNA machines, some of the other hardware that takes the information or the patent technology that's being produced in the initial bio zone and then taking it out to the outstate where they can begin to teach people how to manufacture some of these things. They can have on the ground manufacturing. One of the institutions that's in central Minnesota is Dairy Craft Industries, and Dairy Craft initially made milk tanks, and now they've moved into the whole realm of doing specialized stainless steel containers for all types of things. And so part of this process is how do we train some of these technicians in the process of this whole new bioscience. And so this is taking it from the discovery phase to the how do we begin to manufacture phase. And so that's what this is geared towards, this whole process of this particular proposal. I don't know if that explains.
Now, Representative Rothfeld, I will state that as a graduate of the University of St. Thomas, I question the intellectual capacity of those at St. John's and St. Ben's. But all that being said, did you have another question?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman and Representative Peterson, it feels to me like you really need some different language then to achieve what you're doing, which is you're not trying to diffuse the research talent, which we're fighting with lots of people to try and bring together in a campus. You're not going to try and have St. Cloud State competing with the U, you know, or have UMD competing with, you know, Mayo or those sorts of things, which this bill could allow because it's an unlimited number of bioscience zones and it's not really focused. It sounds like your focus is really more about, you know, the rollout of products and the manufacturing sort of end, which is a little different twist. And I'm wondering whether or not what you feel that you could get out of it being called a bioscience zone versus, you know, the JobZ program, which is really more focused towards that manufacturing effort in greater Minnesota. Maybe I'm just still not kind of getting the vision totally, but it sounded to me like you were describing a little different emphasis, still using that research that we're supporting, you know, through the university, but we're kind of taking it more to the production end more.
Representative Loeffler, I'm going to ask Mr. Goddard from Deed to come up. And Gene, if you could give us kind of the 30,000 foot, you know, 2-minute review of why the bioscience zones were set up and what they're intended to do, and maybe that will help answer some of the questions that Representative Loeffler is raising.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Gene Goddard. I'm the Bioscience Industry Specialist for the Department of Employment and Economic Development. The bioscience zones were created in 2003 and passed by a legislative session at that time as part of an effort from the department and the governor's office to create opportunities for companies and organizations to grow in the state regarding the bioscience. It was a sister bill to the JobZ. The bioscience zone approved one was for one zone with three subzones, a maximum of 5,000 acres. The subzones were approved for Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Rochester. The zones were needed to be located near a university or campus or a facility that did higher research. Federal research dollars came in. So 500 acres were approved in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Rochester. The Minneapolis zone is roughly from the Metrodome down to Abbott Northwestern Hospital, and then from Dinkytown area around the Minneapolis campus over to Highway 280. St. Paul's is from 280 down along Energy Park Drive over to Lexington Avenue. And St. Rochester's is roughly most of downtown Rochester and facilities out on the western areas where Mayo Clinic has other facilities and some IBM and some of the other companies are doing bioscience research. The program was funded for the fiscal year 2004-2005. $1 million was funded. The funding ended at that point. We provided just under $1 million in tax credits to 9 companies. Last year there was a bill to increase fund or continue funding moving forward, and that did not make it through the special session. So at this point, the program has no funding available for it. We worked with communities outside the metro area that were interested in biosciences to use their job V as the tool to promote the growth of those bioscience-related companies within the state. Worthington, for example, is one community that's been very successful and aggressive in doing that. St. Cloud, we have worked with DCI, as Representative Severson has mentioned, to help them grow and expand and using their jobs, the acres also. Our department is not as neutral on this bill at this point. We see advantages and disadvantages for growing bioscience zones, particularly right now since there is not funding for the program. JobZ is still a more powerful tool for communities to use outside the metro area for promoting bioscience business development. But we also understand that there is a desire by a number of communities that are interested in bioscience development to use the status of being a bioscience zone to help promote their activities and their efforts, to bring more attention to their activities, and to do more work on applied research, taking the basic research that's developed by the university and then working with their local community college and technical schools or with their four-year institutions to translate that technology into a viable product that can be developed into something that we may use every day in our homes or in our farms or elsewhere throughout the state.
Thank you, Mr. Goddard. Representative Severson, the funding for the bioscience zone is where right now? Other than non-existent, we're in the process of that.
Right, and Mr. Chair, this is in response to something that the governor had, when he had come up and spoke to the local area in terms of bioscience initiatives, that there were $2 million that were still sitting on the table, and challenged the business people from the area to come up with a package that would be competitive. They did that. They put together a $2 million package that is diverse in its applications, incorporating both the technical college and the universities and some of the outlying agricultural industries for that proposal. This is merely a provision of the bill that says that St. Cloud can enter in as a potential competitor for that.
Representative Lawford, did you get your questions answered, or do you have additional questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm still thinking that there's a distinction here, and that maybe we ought to, it seems to me that the main gain for the St. Cloud area or any other area that would take advantage of this is that they get to use the bioscience title, because it sounds like they can do even better, actually, if they were to go Job Z, which, you know, was not available to the businesses in the metropolitan area. And so I'm wondering whether or not we might want to call these new reiterations bioscience implementation zone or something else, because I think as we're competing with, you know, the rest of the world and kind of trying to communicate Minnesota's strategic plan, it sounds like we really still are kind of keeping to that model of keeping, you know, sort of the basic researchers together and concentrated, but having, you know, others play a different role. And so I'm thinking we might want to think about that. The other thing I really do think we need to do is limit it. I don't think we need to have every campus, claiming this. And it sounds like we've got a concentrated energy in your part of the state, Representative Severson, but maybe we shouldn't be just sort of opening the door so wide that we could have, you know, lots and lots without any true authenticity to what they're hoping for.
And Mr. Chairman and Representative Laughlin, I think the key lies in the bill itself. It says the commissioner, in consultation with the commissioner of revenue and the director of the Office of Strategic Long-Range Planning, shall designate. And I think it's not like we're just opening up the bag here. There's people that are getting together, sitting down at a table and saying, what is the long-term goal for the state in terms of the bioscience? So I think for us to hash all this out, on the legislative level, kind of gets down into the weeds where we're just asking for them, giving them the purview to say, you can expand this if you think that this would be strategically wise to do for the state of Minnesota.
Representative Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have a question for, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name from deep.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gene Goddard.
Mr. Goddard, when you had the experience in 2003 and 2004 with the firms that did get biotech zone money, let's say, what came out of that? What were the results?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, representatives, of the nine companies that applied for the zone or received financing, they created, I remember the top of my head, roughly 50 new jobs, high-tech research jobs. The firms that applied for the funds were all startups. None of the firms at the time they applied had more than three people. So the funds were able to help them expand their burn rate from their venture or private equity capital that they have, add an additional 2 to 3 months of their financing. Most of the funding or the tax credits went for their R&D tax credit. And for high wage employees that they hired. A couple of firms utilized the tax credit for sales tax because they were purchasing a lot of equipment or they were doing rehab of their leasehold space that they were eligible to use the funds for that. But most of it was tied towards the research or the employment base. And it did create what it was supposed to do in St. Paul. Prior to January 1, 2004, we had three bioscience companies within the bioscience zone. When the funding ended, last count that I had, there was over 40 firms in St. Paul in the bioscience zone. In Minneapolis, there were no companies within their bioscience zone. January 1, today, there are five firms within their bioscience zone. In Rochester, we had one company apply, but then they, when we went through their data, they weren't eligible for more than a couple $1,000 with the tax credit, so then they pulled their application. So Rochester did not receive, none of the companies in Rochester received funds, but it's been helpful for them to help promote their community on a national level, and they are working hard to use their JobZ tool to help grow bioscience companies.
Representative Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Goddard, how many people applied originally for the loans compared to how many people actually got or tax breaks and or actually got them?
Mr. Goddard.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I had a total of 60 companies express interest. We did applications or estimates for about 15 companies, and then they whittled themselves down to about the nine that formally applied. And all nine that formally applied did receive the tax credits. A couple of firms that had applied, one had was a larger firm, and they had a lawsuit with their shareholders, and so they pulled their application. And another firm didn't feel comfortable with some of the legal agreements, so their lawyers recommended that they didn't participate because of their agreements with their equity holders.
Okay. Sorry, I had a little line of questions here. How many bioscience firms do we have in Minnesota?
Mr. Chair, Representative, as of printing of a new directory that Twin City Business Monthly is producing this week, there are 303 bioscience firms in the state of Minnesota and over 520 medical device firms in the state of Minnesota.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Goddard, or Mr. Goddard, you don't really want this job.
Mr. Chair,
My wife doesn't want me to become more involved in politics than I am right now.
Your wife is a very smart woman. So there's 9 companies out of over 300 that got the tax breaks and loans and
Mr. Chair, Representative, the 303 includes ag bioscience companies. They include firms scattered across the state in Worthington, St. Cloud, and Rochester or Bemidji. It includes biofuels companies. It includes small startups. The bioscience zone tax credits really did what we wanted to do and help consolidate and concentrate companies in an area to take advantages of the opportunities that Representative Loeffler did. It really didn't work out as we had intended as to provide a financial vehicle for the companies because the dollar amount was so low. The $1 million spread across 3 communities wasn't enough to make it as big of an incentive as we had liked to. If the dollars would have been larger, I think we'd have seen more companies apply and take greater advantage of it. Last year, many of the representatives from this committee were in Rochester for a tour, and there was one machine that we saw in the Mayo Clinic lab that was about the size of a large microwave oven. That one machine cost $1 million and used by one researcher maybe twice a day, maybe every other day, and its usable life is only for 3 years before it comes outdated. So the cost of this industry is much greater than what we've seen in any other industry that our department has worked with, and so our traditional loan programs have not worked, which have a $10,000 per job created environment. And when you're trying to buy $1 million piece of asset, that really doesn't work. And the tax credit did work for some of the small companies, but we would have, the way the tool turned out, it wasn't as effective as we would have liked it to be.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Goddard. This seems so strange to me because I'm just thinking we've got over 300 firms. We're definitely sounds like a case where we're at least attempting to pick winners and losers in the game. And I think we need to welcome all the bioscience firms to Minnesota and try to do what we can to make them want to be here and stay here, including, you know, good higher education system and other tools. I don't see this in the beginning as a tool that will help our economy, and we really don't know, it sounds like. We really don't know whether that $1 million spent made the kind of change. We don't know if those 50 jobs would have been created anyway. We can't honestly say that they wouldn't have. I think we probably agree with that. But we know that it gave some small companies a nice break, and that's a nice thing, but we also know that would give one small company a jump over some other small company that wasn't located in that zone and didn't have any access at all to that. I guess that's a little speech against doing this again on my part, but also I think for a challenge for your department to take a look at what other things we can do to encourage more bioscience firms here. And I know you do a pretty good job in your department of getting people interested in doing business in Minnesota. But this just doesn't seem like the answer at all to me. And I'm very concerned about the businesses outside, those biotech businesses, bioscience businesses that are outside of those little zones, and how this place, you know, pits one against another and gives benefits to some but not all. So thank you for your answers.
Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this could be for Mr. Goddard or for Mr. Severson. Of some of the others in the current zone, how many of those were medical related or medical science versus an agri-science or an agri-manufacturing science?
Mr. Goddard?
Mr. Chair, Representative Zellers, about 65 to 70% of them are related to medical health sciences. Some are nano biosciences, and some are ag biosciences. And there's one firm that does, or two firms that do surface coating or biodegradable materials for use in toys or plastics or other coatings on other materials. And one firm is related to bio computing, design software, and other products, computer-based products for the bioscience computationals.
Representative Ellis?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Goddard, and to Representative Cederson and Mr. Goddard. I really applaud you on the opportunity to go outside the Minneapolis, St. Paul, Rochester. As a kid who grew up on a farm, I mean, sometimes the best ideas come up when you're out on the farm and you're stuck or something breaks down, and I would hate to have it limited, no offense to those of us who live in the metropolitan area or in the current zone. A lot of this stuff is field-tested, field-improvised. Say that necessity is the mother of invention. I think if you're out in the area, if you're out in that zone, same goes for the St. Cloud City area. Same goes for Crookston. I mean, I can think of some of the tree projects that they're doing up at Crookston and up in Bemidji State, some of those areas that may be bioscience related. And if they don't have the opportunity to go up there, why would we limit ourselves? So yeah, my curiosity about having agriculture in there is definitely peaked, but also especially the related industries. We're seeing all kinds of stuff with corn chaff mm-hmm. and soybean chaff, you know, stems that will, who knows, come out of. And if you've got a bulk supply out in the Stearns County area, why not go where the supply is? So to that point, Representative Cederson, I think it's a great bill, and the fact that you didn't selfishly put in just the St. Cloud State folks, it could be somebody else jumping in front of you, I think that's to be complimented as well.
Mr. Goddard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Zellers, to that point, this body last year approved $350,000 in funding for potato starch research at St. Cloud or at the Bemidji State University to do biopolymers. As part of our initiative, we created a biofibers consortium between the pulp and paper industry in Minnesota, together with some of the commodity grains groups, to look at ways of dealing with pulp issues that we have in our state because of declining pulp stumpage, to use ag fibers as a way to supplement their processing. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Worthington, there's a strong area down there looking at pharmaceuticals for the swine and equine industry. In Wilmer, there's a group working on avian flu and other issues dealing with avian industry. There's a biocomposite materials group out of Winona. So we see small niches in specialized communities and communities that have specialized skill sets around the state, and we don't see this bioscience initiative as being focused solely on one area. Basic research, yes, that needs to take place in a concentrated area, but applied research doesn't. You know, I grew up on a family farm just like you did in southwestern Minnesota. When I started my academic career as a chemistry and physics major, my dad said, "What's that going to do for me in growing my farm here?" And, well,
you had the same tough
25 years ago when I was a freshman at Southwest State University, there wasn't much of an opportunity for me to get a job in biosciences as a graduate from Southwest State. Today, I can go to if I was graduating today, I could go to a biofuels plant, I could go to a biodiesel plant, I could go to Worthington, any community in the state that I wanted to, and take that research that I learned or that skill sets and live in any community in the state. And I think that's one thing we've been trying to do from a department standpoint with this initiative, is to make sure that every part of the state takes advantages of those resources. And I applaud what Representative Cederson wants to do with look at this bill. Unfortunately, the financial tools have not been there to make this tool as valuable to us in helping those companies grow and expand as we originally intended when we drafted the bill at the beginning of the session in 2003.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very interested in this. Probably everybody hears me say this all the time. Mr. Goddard, your reference to the machine that's the size of a microwave and so on. I mean, that, of course, brings up that very important point that, you know, these kinds of inventors can't do it in the garage anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very capital-intensive enterprise, and we have to recognize that and keep that in mind. And, you know, I'm very much, I really think that this whole area of bioscience and promoting this is really, really important, and we definitely should do that, and it's worth investing some state money in, no question about it. But I want to go back to the question that Representative Goodwin asked, and you kind of shook your head, but I don't know if you really answered the question about whether there's any real evidence that this particular tool, this bioscience zone, you know, she asked, would the 50 jobs be there if we hadn't done this zone? Because clearly this industry is growing. And by asking the question, I don't mean to imply that I'm against doing this. In fact, I want to say that I think it's important to recognize that you can't just measure jobs in this area and say it's only a success if you get X number of jobs, because we've got so many impacts here, not only on, you know, advances in medicine, but, you know, using new uses for agricultural products. I mean, all those things are successes to look at, too, not only how many jobs we create, although jobs, of course, are very, very important. But that said, I want to just ask you the question very directly and ask you to answer it as directly as you can about what evidence really is there that this is the best way to go in terms of how to help these kinds of companies.
Mr. Goddard?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leland, I don't know the answer to that, because with the zone tax credits, they're provided to nine companies. One of the nine moved to San Jose because they couldn't get the research support here, so that left eight of those that we provided funding behind. The funding only went for 1 year's worth of activity that they did within the bioscience zone, and that funding was through December 31st of 2005. So I can't say and won't be able to say until probably a year from now to see how many of those firms are still in existence. What I do know and can tell you definitively is that prior to January 1, 2004, before we created designated the bioscience zone, there were no bioscience incubators in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Rochester. Today, there are two in St. Paul, one in Minneapolis, and as part of the governor's bonding recommendation, there's to build one in in Rochester. St. Cloud is working on an effort to build an incubator, and so is Worthington. Those, I know, are happening. And in the bioscience zone in St. Paul, there were three companies in St. Paul in that area near the university campus. Today, there are nearly 40 companies there. That we know is working, that concentration. When you look at the device industry in Minnesota, it's scattered across the metro area. It doesn't talk to each other as much as we would like it to do. The biosciences, because over the number they say is over 90% of their IP, intellectual property, they get from an institution of higher learning. They need to be near, those basic research companies need to be near a campus like that. That concentration is happening. It didn't happen before. We're happy to see that happen. But as far as the financial support, they're still going outside of the state to get venture capital. They're still going outside of the state to get funding for growth. And some of those firms are consistently asked to move out, like the one firm that we did provide tax credits for. They moved back to California. We're hopeful that that tide will change, but I don't have enough time under our belt to say for sure whether the financial resources that we provided to those eight firms are working. I know they're here.
Quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Leland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have any other states that we can look at that, I don't mean as our competitors so much, but just for a comparable kind of program?
Often we look to the east to our friends in Madison who have designed their bioscience zone or a research park near their university campus over 40 years ago. So they've had a lot of success. They've got over 5,000 jobs near their university campus. We've talked a lot with those folks. I communicate with my counterparts in Iowa in 2 weeks, starting on the 9th of April is the Biotechnology Industry Organization. Their worldwide conference is in Chicago, and we will be promoting Minnesota there, and I will be asking questions of my counterparts in other states and countries to find out what they're doing that is successful, and we hope to learn more about that. But we're on, you know, if we started this initiative in 2003, so we're, you know, really 2.5 years into the initiative. This is, you know, the first step on a 20-year track that we believe will help position us into a world-class leader. We're going to continue to learn along the way.
Mr. Goddard, I get tired of the tool in the toolbox metaphor, but I guess I don't see this as the answer to making sure that bioscience companies come here, grow here, expand here, etc. But it seems to me, again, to use the metaphor, I mean, it seems to be an important tool in the toolbox, if you will, for Deed and for others who are interested in seeing the industry flourish. Is that a fair assessment or statement of the program to date? I mean, it's got 2 years and $1 million of funding behind it. You'd probably like to have 5 or 6 years and maybe $10 or $15 million behind it to really know, to be able to answer some of those questions. But can you talk to that?
Representative Coles, yes, I do agree this is one piece of the tool. The funding for the Mayo University Partnership is one piece. Funding for facilities at the University of Minnesota in Rochester and at Minsky campuses, that's one piece. Marketing the state of Minnesota so that people know what we're doing here is one piece. Providing tax incentives or financial incentives to companies is one piece. We still don't have funding yet to do marketing, so we're trying to fundraise on our own to do that. And the funding for equity capital and to help facilitate transfer of private capital to bioscience companies, we're still working on that piece. These are things that have been developed over a number of years, but they can't be looked at individually. They need to be looked at as a whole and what's needed. And that's part of why we spun off the Governor's Bioscience Council, which is today now the Biobusiness Alliance, is to help pull in more strategy ideas from private sector, from other state institutions, from academia, whether it's private at St. Thomas or St. John's, or whether it's a Minsky facility or a U of M campus, is to pull all those resources together and develop a long-term strategy. And that's why funding for that organization is being brought up as part of the governor's recommendation in the supplemental budget to make sure that that strategy can be continued to be developed and look at all those pieces of the tools that we need.
Representative Liebman, I'm sorry I jumped in there. Were you done?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Done.
All right. Representative Loeffler, do you have another question?
Yeah. Mr. Chair and to our guests, I think everybody believes that this is sort of the good jobs of the future, and we ought to, you know, develop those wherever there's opportunities to do it. But I'm not having served here when we passed Job Z, which is just for greater Minnesota, or at least not the non-metro area, or this, to what degree was the discussion in pushing this forward in terms of the special financial advantages to the companies that located within that bioscience zone really about an equity of opportunity in trying to bring those kind of basic research type firms into that, you know, sort of more academic based area? And is Job Z tapped out, or is that still an option for these other opportunities in greater Minnesota?
Mr. Geyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Loeffler. Job Z was fully funded by the legislature until December 31st of 2015, so for the full 12 years it was funded. Because of concerns of the budget, and because we were looking at a $4.5 billion deficit in 2003, the legislature chose at that point to say, you know, we're not sure how bioscience zone is going to be effective or not. We're concerned about since this is a metro area, providing a lot of tax incentives or funding incentives to corporations to move into that area. Let's hold back and try a trial funding of $1 million and see how that does. Our original bill looked identical. Job Z and Bioscience Zone were identical, just the difference of one focusing in the metro area on this specific industry. But we've been trying to utilize Job Z outside of the metro area for bioscience-related companies as well. But it's very successful. Job Z has been very successful. It's been a program that's done what we hoped it would do. And we've done over 200 projects now throughout the state in just the 2 years.
Just a follow-up to that, since it sounds like there's still some capacity within Job Z, does that mean that there is a competitive advantage if I were the owner of a bioscience company to want to locate in greater Minnesota versus the established bioscience zones that we've designated already?
Mr. Chair, Representative, if a company wanted to choose to locate in the bioscience zone or the Job Z, it would be dependent upon their own financial needs or their own workforce needs, access to market needs. So we let them choose those decisions. We provide them with the background information that they need or would they ask us for. But I couldn't answer that for you. You'd have to talk with a company that was looking at comparing those two, but it would be on a straight out financial incentive basis that would be more beneficial for them to be in a job Z if that's what was more important to them. But most important, you know, companies, when they talk to us, workforce is a very important piece of the tool for them also.
Mr. Chairman, I just think as a committee that's really charged with the responsibility of sort of overseeing and guiding the state's efforts in this, I really think we need to spend some time, and perhaps that's over the interim, developing a vision and then coming back and dealing with legislation that sort of helps implement that vision. But I think we all lose when we're pitting one part of the state against another, when we're pitting one campus against another, or when we're so diffusing our efforts that we can't be effective because there's too many competing voices coming out. I'm just thinking of if we heard of a bioscience company that was in the southern part of the United States but wanted to come up to Minnesota because of the kinds of people that were graduating from the university and from other campuses or not. And if they're approached by, you know, 10, 30, 50 different cities, all of which are saying, you know, we want you, we want your jobs, you know, I just think we need to have some sort of coordinated effort. And I was struck by Mr. Goddard's description of how we really need a coordinated marketing plan to be effective too, and I think we need to kind of look at that. But I think we'd do better if we were dealing with things a little more comprehensively than, particularly when it sounds like we've already got, you know, over 300 firms in the general biosciences and 500 in medical, to try and pick, you know, an extra five or six who get special benefits that others don't. Or to say one part of the state is advantaged over another. I mean, I think we just really need to be a lot more strategic. At least that's what I would like us to do, is to develop some kind of vision. I don't have a vision in my head of what that would be, but I just think the more we deal with things piecemeal, I think the less successful we may be.
Representative Lauper, I think you raised some very good points, some very valid points, and what happens with this committee and these people and Deed's efforts as we move forward. I think you're raising a great point. I know that I believe I can speak for Mr. Goddard that he would be happy to see more interest and involvement from folks here in the legislature on these issues, and we certainly can use this committee as a forum for those discussions. I'd be happy to talk with you more about it because I think you're raising some good points. I think you're right. I mean, a lot of times we're stuck, and all that we can do, or all we seem to be able to do, is piecemeal. Whether it's in this area, or whether it's education, or whether it's anywhere else, that's not always the best approach. I would agree with you there. And if we can, if you have some interest in having a broader discussion about that, I'd be happy to chat with you and see how we can try to facilitate that with this committee or elsewhere. But I think you do raise some good points. Anything else from members of the committee? Representative Severson, anything else?
Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. With that, Representative Severson renews his motion that House File 3561 be recommended to pass and return to the full Commerce Committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
No.
The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Severson. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.
Thank you.